Welcome to the CrossX Method Podcast, where our goal is to educate, inspire, and entertain you with all things health and fitness. We'll discuss training, nutrition, what's happening in and around the box, plus a whole bunch of unrelated topics sure to keep you engaged and having a laugh. So grab a brew, sit back, and come bang some weights with the CrossX team. Okay, welcome back. CrossX Method, episode number 5. I'm back with Jen today. How are you, Jen?
Good, Rob. How you doing?
Good. We're just talking today about the second, we're sort of doing a follow-up episode because walking away from the nutrition episode, both myself and Jen were like, oh, there's so much still left to say. There's a lot of things to talk about, and we're going to try and go through a few of those today. We'll try and keep it relatively short and not drag it out too long, but more than likely it will go for ages.
Both of us like to talk.
Yeah, we don't mind a chat. So, firstly, we had a couple of reviews, thanks to Sam, who motivated me again to try and get this onto iTunes. Originally, iTunes had some sort of error when I was trying to log on. It kept putting me in this feedback loop, and it's a bit of a global problem. But that's all sorted now, so Sam reminded me, and it was actually quite easy once iTunes sorted out its stuff, and we could chuck it on there, so you can find us on iTunes now. And we will address Sam's concerns. He wanted to know a little bit about training while sort of not sleep deprived, but how to manage sleep and training when you're a shift worker. So I'll be able to chat to everyone about that. We'll get an episode on that. We'll also have an episode on progression soon as well. I haven't forgotten about Wes that emailed me. So I'll get to that, mate. We're still working. We've got a list of things that just keeps growing that we're going to talk about. But today, we're going to talk about nutrition. And I just wanted to start the podcast by... I was just listening to some interesting stuff from Ben Bergeron on his podcast the other day, and it just reminded me of some things that a lot of people are unaware about. And we're just really looking to debunk a lot of just bullshit around the nutrition industry that people aren't aware of. So a really good sort of example that Ben gave, and he didn't talk about the sport that I'm going to talk about, but we look at things like, you know, we have the AFL Grand Final this weekend and the NRL Grand Final, and the amount of advertising that goes into that, and the market research behind trying to figure out how to get the biggest number of people to the event, how to advertise, what goes on in the ad breaks, how long the ad breaks go for, how we're going to get people to buy merchandise, how we're going to get people to buy the, you know, bet on the game. You know, we see all the betting ads and all that sort of stuff, and there's millions of dollars a year that go into that. But what people don't realize is the food industry is so much bigger than that, and they have scientists and people that research food and how people react to that food and how they can get you to eat more of their food.
So what connects to us emotionally?
Yeah, emotionally and taste-wise. And when you look at the budget for it, because most of our foods are global, if we look at things like, you know, Pringles or something like that, they're a worldwide thing, right? And you try and eat one Pringle. You can't eat one Pringle. You know, the taste is delicious. And especially if you're not being conscious to the fact that, you know, it's not the best food choice for you. You know, you'll eat a whole packet of those, and that's not by mistake. You know, that there's so much research going into that. And so if you look at something like the AFL or the NRL, and maybe there's a couple of million dollars gone into research and advertising and marketing, the global food industry in terms of the money that goes into that is in the trillions. Like, it's ridiculous. So, you know, anything down to the packaging, where it sits on the food shelf at the supermarket, the eye line that it sits at, the aisle it's in, the where it's placed before you get to the register or as you get to the register. So even the other day, I was thinking about this before, I went to get fuel, fueled up the car, going to the servo, and I'm paying for the fuel. He's like, do you want anything else? I'm like, nah. And he said, well, we've got this bucket of stuff here. You get two of these whatever's in this bucket for free, and it will actually make your fuel cheaper. So we're going to give you something and make you make it cheaper for you to pay for your petrol, because the, you know, this is the deal they had. And I looked in this bucket, and it was, you know, just, you know, rubbish, just chocolates and chips, and they had water in there. So I got two bottles of water to cheapen my fuel bill, and it wasn't even necessary. Like, I didn't need the water, but you know, the ability for me to be able to make that decision is just habitual over a long period of time, and understanding that, you know, I don't eat those kinds of things. And but if you're not paying attention to that, and you know, there's a bottle of water, you might think, oh, I'm being really good, I'll grab one bottle of water and I'll get a bag of Maltesers or whatever's in there because it's free, you know. So I guess what I'm trying to say is a lot of people are trying their hardest to do really well with their food, but just falling short of the mark and becoming, I guess, victim because they don't really get it. They just don't quite get it. They're trying, but they're falling victim to the advertising and the marketing and all that sort of stuff. So,
and when you're already struggling and you have that desire or that little voice that sits in the back of your head, all of those strategic positioning of food and all of those little gimmicks,
yeah,
people just jump on it.
Yeah, and they get you while you're down.
Yeah.
You're hungry, you're tired, you know. You're in the supermarket, you got a kid yelling at you in one ear, and it's just like, whatever you can do to make things better, you're just going to put that in the trolley or shove it in your kid's mouth. and that's, you know, and that's it.
So many times on Instagram stories, I see the photo of the two for the price of one ticketed in the, like, the Tim Tam and the chocolate aisles
with
yellow tickets, and there's not just one yellow ticket. Yeah. On one product, there's like rows and rows and rows of it. So it's like bright lights.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's everywhere. And it's like, you know, it's really easy to make poor choices. And even though you're trying your hardest, and there's a lot of other things too that we're going to talk about today in terms of, I guess, food labels and little tricks that the industry plays on us that you might not be aware of. So, looking straight into it, Jen, I thought we might talk about packaging straight up.
Yeah.
So what's the go-to for you when you look at, say you pick, you go, oh, that's something new, I'll pick it up. What are you looking at?
I actually turn around and look at the nutritional label straight on the back straight away.
Excellent.
So a lot of the things, I guess one of the things that I've learned over the years, and I used to fall to the trap of, if on the front of it, it says that it's a healthy eating option, it's high in iron, it's got calcium, it's high in fiber, then that must mean it's good. Must mean it's good for me, must mean it's good for Deacon.
Yep.
But through things that I've studied and the things that the protocols that I've used in my life, I've learned that a lot of that stuff in the front of the package is just crap, and it's just there to attract you. It's like the bright lights, like the tickets and the Tim Tam aisle. It's there to attract you to buy that product. And then when you look at the back of it, the first thing I look at is the first sort of handful of ingredients that's in the packet,
yep,
in the food, and then I look at the nutritional value.
So in case people don't know, how do they order those ingredients?
Well, for me, and one of the things that stuck with me when I did some nutrition study is that if sugar features in the first, I think it's 3 to 4 ingredients, that it can actually count for up to 80% of the product.
Yeah.
So that's what one of the things that I look at straight away, and I look at how much processed food is in those ingredients. So if I don't know the names of the things, generally I won't buy it.
Yes. Excellent. So with a nutrition label, the first ingredient that's listed under the ingredients has the highest content within that food. So say, for example, it says rice syrup. Essentially what it's saying is most of the food is sugar.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that they put on the packet, organic, you know, whatever, you know.
Low GI.
Yeah.
Gluten-free.
Yeah. Gluten-free is actually a good one, depending what you're buying. But gluten-free is definitely a good one because you want to stay away from that. But if you look on the back, and this kind of leads us in, I guess, to looking at where there can be hidden items in food, or even just looking at certain foods. So you know, the marketing is so good around things like agave and, you know, maple syrup. And your body doesn't know the difference between agave, maple syrup and honey. Now, there's some minor micronutrient differences for sure. And, you know, there's the healing effects of honey and, you know, all these sorts of things. But your body, it's sugar. It's all sugar. There's actually more fructose in agave nectar than there is high fructose corn syrup per 100 ml. So you could argue that even though it's healthy and it comes from, you know, cactus and it's organic, that it's better for you. You could argue that it's not, depending which way you look at it. So there's a lot of things like that that people are like, yeah, I'm not eating any sugar. I use agave nectar or honey or maple syrup. It's the same thing. So just make sure you're not kidding yourself in terms of how much carbohydrates you're taking in because of that. And when you're looking at food labels, sort of back to the packaging, things like rice syrup, you know, maples, organic maple syrup, pure cane sugar, you know, that's where sugar comes from. You know,
I think I had a conversation with someone recently too about even milk.
Yep.
Looking at the back of the label of milk, they were surprised to learn how much sugar is in some milks.
Yes.
Because of the way that they're processed and made to for the life of the packaging on the shelf, because yep. things aren't like they used to be, where you'd have a natural product and you'd eat it pretty much straight away. Things are created and designed to last now on yep. shelves and to be attractive on shelves, so they don't want something to turn.
That's right.
And not get that sale from that item as well.
And there's another whole argument there with milk in terms of, you know, it, generally the lower the fat content of the milk, the more of that sort of stuff's going to be in
the
there.
The higher, yeah,
because,
definitely.
You know, fat is more stable and lasts longer and is less subject to, you know, turning.
Mm.
So when you're looking at, you know, if you go down the road of, say, cheese or butter or things like that, the best thing to look at is the ingredient list. And you'll find, if you look at butter, like a pure butter, and the best one's obviously grass-fed, but if you're just going for a normal butter because they don't have, you know, grass-fed butter's easier to come by than it was. There is actually some out there, but still quite difficult to find. But with butter, essentially the ingredients are milk fat, and that's it, and salt. Milk fat and salt, that's the two ingredients that should be in it. If you look at margarine, then the ingredients list is massive.
And they'll often have like just the finest fine print indicating that it's a blend as well.
Yes.
So rather than it may, the marketing tricks, even just with the packaging there, they may not put all of the information on there, but you're looking out for that fine print underneath the nutritional label where it says this product is a blend.
Yes. Another big one's like, you know, foods with olive oil in it. Mm. And we're like, yeah, olive oil, that's good for me. Throw it straight in the trolley. But then you read the ingredients list and it's 90% canola oil, 5% olive oil. So all of those things, we need to be, it's hard to negotiate all of this. It's so hard. Navigate. But we're trying to sort of educate you guys just to get you thinking about, you know, it's not that simple. And we understand it's hard, but you're going to benefit tremendously from, you know, making these better decisions. So let's talk about where we see a lot of hidden sugar and hidden carbohydrates, Jen. So we could list these for days, but give me some of the ones that you're like, oh man, like people might not realize that food is full of sugar.
Can we go down the paleo track now?
So,
you know, last podcast we talked about paleo, and that's been a massive part of my experience and learning. And in that journey, you know, I even got on the whole paleo treats, and I'm a massive lover of some of the paleo treats that you can cook and create. But, you know, some of those are filled with maple syrup or raw maple syrup. They have a lot of nuts and a lot of fruit in
dates.
Dates. So dates are really, really high in sugar.
Yep.
A lot of the things that you put into it, and the way that you make a lot of the paleo treats bind as well with oil and things like that. So
yep.
you, the fats and sugars are incredibly high in a lot of those treats.
Yeah, which is a horrendous combination.
Definitely. So you might be doing all the right things for breakfast, lunch and dinner, but you're snacking on these amazing chocolate paleo cakes or fat bombs or do all the different things that you find out there.
Yep.
And you're blowing your carbohydrates and your fats completely through the roof.
Yes, yes. Sneaky. And what's hardest about those that I found is more often than not, they're made with love.
Mm.
So people are giving them and they're trying to make people feel good, and it's natural for us to try and give food, and you give this nice little bundle of paleo treats and, you know, you're giving them a little bit of diabetes wrapped up in cellophane. Yeah. So, you know, sorry if I just ruined that for you, but really, you know, we need to just sort of stay away from that and just be mindful of what's going into those. So there's some others, and I was talking to one of the guys in the gym this morning about it, and, you know, this is one of those cases where, and I know Adam won't mind me mentioning his name, but I spoke to Adam this morning, and he was discussing, you know, some of the things he's eating and how he can improve, and he was talking about a major component of his diet, which he found was quick and easy, was buying pre-made stir fry from one of the local poultry, you know, places like a Leonard's or something similar. And what he sort of just overlooked was the fact that they have so much sauce in that, you know, you're cooking it and it's sort of swimming in the sauce and it tastes delicious, but that sauce is full of sugar. So one of those meals, you could blow out, you could have 100 grams of sugar easily if you had a few tablespoons of sauce. You could have so much sugar in that and carbohydrates that essentially that's all you need for the day in terms of carbohydrates for your whole day in that one meal. And I guarantee that's not the only place you're going to get carbs from, because you're going to put some rice with it maybe, and, you know, other things that you want to also avoid. Now, in terms of rice and carbohydrates, yes, you do need some carbohydrates, especially if you're CrossFitting and you're training hard. If you're not training hard, you know, we can definitely reduce the carbohydrate load quite significantly and get some more health benefits from doing that. So that was one. Things like pre-made sauces, cereals, breakfast bases. Cereals are huge. What was that?
Meal bases. Yep. So like you're saying, the pre-made sauces, but the stir-fry sauces and like chicken tonight and some of the sachets that come in the salad packets from the fresh food section.
That's a really good one.
Just as an exercise, it's a good thing to do. At Coles, they have two different types of salad bags. One has got some sauces and some cheese in it. It's about $5, and a little bit higher away from your eye line, there's another packet that's about $2 or $3, and it's just salad.
Yep.
And if you have a look on the back of the packet, in the nutrition labels are quite different with the content.
Yes.
They have to accommodate for the cheese and the sauce that's inside the packet with the salad.
The other thing to be mindful of is too, though, might say 3 grams of sugar per serve, and you're like, sweet. And you look at the serving size, it's 5 mil. There's no way you're only having 5 mil of salad dressing. No way. You're pouring that all over it, right? And there goes your carbohydrate content for the day.
Tomato sauce.
Barbecue sauce. Cereals is a big one. Now, we all know Fruit Loops and Frosty Flakes are full of sugar, but a lot of the, you know, granolas and muesli, they're really high in sugar as well and carbohydrates. So that's one to watch. Yogurt, that's a massive one. So I'm not talking about just like 100% Greek style yogurt when you eat it and your face screws up because you just feel like you're bitten into a lemon. Like, that stuff's probably okay. But the squeezy yogurts and the yogurts that are half yogurt, half fruit syrup, they've got ridiculous amounts of sugar in them. You know, really high.
So when you're looking at a label too, if anyone isn't aware, it'll break down for the protein, carbohydrates, fats, and a bit of other information. Underneath both the fats and the carbohydrates, there's a breakdown between fats and then saturated fats, carbohydrates, and sugars. So it's a good way to see. So there's a lot of things that are naturally full of good carbohydrates, but then they'll isolate out what the sugar content is. So if you're not sure about exactly what you're looking for, that's a good place to start to understand.
Yeah, absolutely. And but the other thing is to also be mindful of, even if it, like, Carbs are carbs at the end of the day. True. So carbohydrate, the word carbohydrate actually means sugar.
Yes.
So when you're looking at foods, you know, if you have, you go, well, rice is better, there's no sugar and it's just rice, but your body processes it the same. It turns it to glucose. If it's not, like, rice is predominantly glucose already, but we've got, you know, saccharose, fructose, glucose, all these different types of sugars. They get converted, if they're not already in glucose form, into glucose. The reason rice is good when you're training or before you train is you're getting glucose, which is easy to burn, which is good for glycolytic training like CrossFit. In saying that, you can do it without that as well.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So what about the timing of meals? I think there's a lot of, not confusion, but we trick ourselves around what we're eating at certain times of the day. And the big one that I can think about right now is pancakes for breakfast.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, pancakes, it's breakfast, that's fine. It's still cake. It's, you're eating cake for breakfast. It's a cereal. And, you know, I'm with you. I remember getting the best pancakes at this cafe at Coolum one day. It was so good. Just the pancakes were swimming in syrup. They were massive. It was delicious. But, you know, let's not kid ourselves. That's a really bad meal to have, you know.
I think, too, there's a lot of those pancake mixes that say they're organic and high in protein and absolutely, all of those sorts of things.
Yeah.
And whilst they're fun, it's exactly the same as a food labelling or cereal packet.
Yep.
It's leading you to believe that that's the optimal choice for you.
Yes. Yep. And there's another whole industry in the supplement industry as well, which is another, you know, it's really hard to navigate. You know, you go into a supplement shop and they've got these big bars with nice big bold writing on them, and essentially they're a Snickers bar with some whey protein isolate in it. And it's like a protein bar, but you're eating chocolate with a bit of protein in it. Now, I'm not talking about the Blue Dinosaur bars or the ones that we stock or, you know, some of the other ones. They're still, you know, you still got to be mindful of what you're eating when you're having those, and still read the labels. Generally, they've got less nasties in them and definitely a lot less sugar than what the others have. But still got to be mindful of everything you're eating.
Definitely. Cool.
So let's talk about dealing with tricky events. And what I mean by that is, righto, Jen, I'm getting married, I'm your best mate, and it's my hen's night, and we're going out Saturday night. How do you start to navigate that?
We're actually pretty social people, so this is something that I've learned a lot. I'm not saying that you're not Rob or other people are.
What are you saying about no friends?
You sit at home with your tub of protein powder, isn't that what you said? No, no, no.
Doing bicep curls.
But it's something that I've had to learn how to navigate, because that's an aspect of our lifestyle that I enjoy.
Yep.
I guess there's two sides of it. There's things that you can have some control over, and there's things that you don't have control over. So, say, for example, the hen's night, and you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, or you've got a rough idea. I tend to look ahead in advance. So if I know that we're going to a specific restaurant or a specific cafe even, I'll go and have a look at the menu prior.
Yep.
And I'll pre-plan. Part of the reason why I do that is because I don't want to be that person that sits there going, okay, well, I'll have this, but can you not have the bread, and can you take the cheese off, but can you add this or that, and can you give me half an avocado?
And is that just because you feel the added pressure?
Yeah, like
and everyone's like, you're a weirdo.
Yeah, and I care less. I actually don't care now what people think about my food choices when I dine out, and that's primarily because they don't think anything.
Yes.
I surround myself with people
they already know.
Yeah. That I don't know.
Yeah.
But they know that that's the lifestyle I live, and generally I surround myself with very similar people, so it's not an issue anymore.
Yep.
It used to be a very big issue, and it was a massive challenge that socially I wasn't around people that supported the same things or were even willing to just let me be on my little path. So I would have to plan ahead so that I didn't have that feeling, or I wouldn't eat.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
But in terms of going to a hen's or going to a party, I quite often eat before we go. And I might also take my own drink, which generally will be soda water with some lime. And it looks like I'm doing what everyone else is doing. No one asks me any questions.
Excellent. Cool. There's so much in this, you know. The pressure comes from people, I feel like, and I'm no psychologist, we might need to get Ollie on to talk about this, but comes from people being, I guess, intimidated a little bit by you being strong enough to make those decisions. So you go somewhere, you're like, hey, you know what, I'm not drinking. And it's not the fact that you're not drinking that upsets them. It's the fact that they are drinking and maybe they feel like they need to drink. Or maybe they feel like they don't want to drink, but they're not strong enough to do that. In saying that, you know, who are we to judge people? Like at school, do whatever you want. You know, fill your boots. And sometimes, also being who I am, people feel like I'm constantly judging them, you know, when we're out. And that can be further from the truth. Like, I really don't mind people filling their boots and living their life and doing what they want to do. Now, you know, and at times I'll go out and have beers and let the hair down and things are good. I've gone less to actually drinking beers now because they make me feel like rubbish, but you know, still out having some alcoholic drinks. For me, I have sort of different groups of friends. And you know, one of them is safaris that are really good mates of mine, and even within that group, a lot of them are into their health and fitness, but not to the point where they won't have a burger and chips when they go out, you know, to a pub on a boys' night or something like that. So if I am going out with the boys from work, I know it's going to be on tonight. They're going to be drinking lots of beers, and we're only going to pubs. They're not going to want to go somewhere where you can sit down and have a steak, we might go and have a steak, or you know, if we can do that, it's easy. You know, I know, hey, we're going to a pub, I can get a steak and some veggies, hold the chips, I'm good to go. But if we're, you know, just on a pretty sort of loose plan and I know I'm not going to have the best option of food, then I will actually either, depending what I've got on during the day leading up, because most times it's of an evening or early afternoon, I will... if I'm training, I'll eat before I train and I'll have enough to sustain my training for the morning. And then I'll just won't eat. Mm-hmm. And I just won't eat till I go out because I know I'm going to get a big dose of carbohydrate when I'm out. And I will still try and make the best choice that I can when I'm there. But like yourself, Jen, I'm not going to say, hey, can I have the burger without the bun?
Hold the fries, no hold the bun. And take the cheese off. So essentially having a salad.
Yeah, and I'll sit over here and eat my salad with a fork.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And sometimes it's a matter of literally making the best choice possible in that current situation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you said, you're not going to go and have the pasta carbonara with the garlic bread and gallon of cider.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, we're all going out together and we're going to buy 5 pizzas and we're all going to eat them. It's like, okay, you know, well, sweet, I'll have a couple of slices of the thin and crispy one and be done, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just
learning to know how to say enough's enough too.
Absolutely, yeah. So just, I feel like when you plan and you go into it, knowing where you're going and what's going to be available, it's so much easier to make the decision because you've made the decision before you go. Whereas if you're not really thinking about it and you find yourself at a pub 3-4 beers in and all of a sudden your decision-making ability has just gone through the floor.
I had this conversation with someone the other day about mindful eating when you're out. And if you, at the very least, if you're not sure how to tackle it, then just be mindful.
Yeah.
And mindful about what you're putting in your mouth in 2 times food and alcohol. Because like you said, the minute you start to go across that threshold where your decision-making goes out the window with... drinking, the next minute you find yourself getting a kebab or Macca's as well on the way home, and you know, you've got an entire day or 2 days worth of intake just in the trip home.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you wake up
going, you know,
feeling
why?
Bad about yourself,
yes,
and then you do it again.
Goes,
yeah.
So
so
understanding when you're going to call it and and say, well, that's enough for me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you know, another whole topic on drinking, I guess, but that's a huge thing. You know, like we've all been at some point at the club at 3 a.m. and yeah, let's do shooters. Like you need to have more alcohol at 3 o'clock in the morning. Nothing good is coming from that. You know, like you're done. But we've all been in that situation, and I guess that's part of growing up and learning. But trying to have that plan before you go out and understanding that, hey, you know, like I have this thing now where I come home and Alex is like, did you hit your limit? And like, I'm like, nah. And so my limit is like 6 drinks, you know, and I'm like nowhere near it. You know, I had 4, like I can sit on 4 drinks for hours. And, you know, if I have 3 or 4 drinks max, I'm feeling okay the next day. 5, 6, I'm written off. You know, it's just because I don't do it very often at all. So there's that. Also, I guess while we're talking about alcohol is, you know, let's, I guess, discuss where that fits in terms of how it can affect your goals. So, you know, there's a lot of research out there saying, hey, a glass of red wine a day can be good for you and beneficial in terms of the antioxidants it provides. Believe it or not, you can get the same amount of antioxidants from berries and strawberries. I know it's a bit dangerous eating strawberries at the moment, but other than that, you know, we don't want to trick ourselves into thinking that we're improving our health by drinking alcohol.
Yeah, I think if you make a decision to drink alcohol, and like I said, no judgment either way, just look at it and take it for what it is.
Yep.
If you're going to drink red wine or whatever it is you choose to drink, it is what it is. It's an alcoholic beverage and you're drinking it for the enjoyment of it and not for the health benefits of drinking it.
And just know that it could be taking you away from where you want to go.
Yeah.
It could be taking you away from your goals. So I heard this really good analogy once is, you know, like if you're looking at your progress in terms of anything, let's say it's going to the CrossFit Games because that's easy to explain for everyone. And you're on the road and you're moving towards the CrossFit Games. You are constantly moving. You are never stationary. So what I mean by that is you're either going forward or you're going back. And every decision you make is either going to take you closer to that or it's going to take you further away from it. So if we have a goal of going to the CrossFit Games and we have a glass of wine, that's taking you backwards. You know, if we are sleeping well, we're recovering well, we're always going forwards. We're training hard. We're getting all the right nutrition in that we need. We're stepping forward. For some reason, you don't get you have a really poor sleep and you get up early and, you know, you overtrain or something, then guess what? You're going backwards, you know. And same can be said for whatever nutrition or body composition goals you might have. Every time we have a paleo treat with agave nectar and dates in it, every time we have some alcohol, every time we make a poor food choice, we're going backwards on that road rather than towards where we want to go. And that's okay, so long as you understand that that's what you're doing and you don't get frustrated with yourself, you don't make yourself feel guilty, self-sabotaging, you know, like, so long as you're consciously aware of the decisions you're making and how they are affecting your end goal, that's what I want everyone to sort of understand. If you're mindlessly eating or, you know, just not thinking about it, you can easily just bring yourself undone and head in the wrong direction.
And it's all of those little bits compiled together, like the tricks of the marketing and the food packets and the sneaky sugars and the eating out and the, you know, sorry, Adam, but the, you know, the stir fry mix at Leonard's, like all of those things sneak up on us.
Yes.
So if you're not taking that time to actually stop and think about what it is that's happening and what you're doing, it can be really frustrating because you feel like for the most part of it you're doing all the right things, but there's all this sneaky stuff happening in the background.
And you're trying to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
And you feel like you are, but all of these little things are like bringing you undone.
Mm.
So the other thing I guess we need to add to that is time. So another thing I feel like brings people undone is, it's like, hey, I've been doing this for 2 weeks and I haven't got abs yet. And they jump on the scales and maybe they just had a meal that they've with a lot of salt or you know, they've retained a lot of water or something like that, and it's punched the scales up a little bit, and it's like, oh shit, I'm not getting anywhere stuff it. This is pointless.
Or even training late. Like training late and have a massive training session, eating a lot of food before you go to bed, and then expecting to wake up with abs.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
No, that's right. Yeah, so, yeah, lots of information there in terms of that. So a question, Jen, I would say is how long has it taken you to get to a point where it's, I don't want to say
easier.
Yeah, it's because it's still hard, right? And people go, well, look at Jen, she's in amazing shape. It's easy for her, though, because of whatever.
The way my body feels this week, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But
you know, it's easy for Jen because of her genes. I'm not like that. It's easy for...
But actually, that's a really good point, though, because like my family... God, I hope my family don't listen to this.
This is going out to millions of people, Jen. I'm sure they'll hear it.
You put it on iTunes. So my frame, we all have a very similar structure. However, I'm a lot leaner than the rest of my family.
Yep.
So in our family, and I touched on it this week when I posted the post on the members page about the CrossFit story that was in the journal, many members of my family struggle with obesity. And that has had a flow-on effect significantly from mental health to, you know, surgeries to all sorts of things. So if, you know, from a gene perspective, my genes have got the certainly the capacity to go in a very, very different direction to what I've gone.
Yeah.
It's been a long journey to get to this point to know what works for me and what doesn't. I've made huge mistakes. I've gone off and tried different things at different times because friends that are in the fitness industry that have been super fit and that I wanted to look like them have said, you should try this. This is an amazing supplement. Mm. You know, if you have this and you don't eat and you only have this much calories in a day, then you're going to look amazing.
Yeah.
And tell you what, I felt like shit after I did the 6 weeks of whatever that was.
Yeah.
And then it all unravels. So, you know, it's been...
It's not long lasting.
No, it's not long lasting. Yeah. It's not sustainable. It's not... it doesn't give me that longevity. I didn't wake up feeling amazing each morning, and those are the things that I learned. So in terms of your analogy with the CrossFit story, there were many times when I've been going forward and going back. All of the things that I've learned along that way now have made me much more patient, even with what I'm doing right now.
Yep.
So I know that I want to grow my physique. It's going to take time. So much
absolutely.
Time,
yeah.
And so much food, so much training.
Yes.
But in that journey as well, I know that if I eat something that's high in salt, the next day I'm going to wake up, I'm going to retain a lot of fluid.
Yeah.
I also know if I don't drink enough water, then I still retain a lot of fluid. You know, there's so many different areas to go into.
Yeah.
If I don't plan very well and I go and work a shift and it's flat out and I don't eat all my food at the right time and then I'm eating high amounts of carbohydrates later in the day through fault of planning, then that has a flow-on effect as well. So I guess I understand how my decisions impact my goals, and it's taken a long time, but I've learned along the way, which makes it easier. But it makes it easier to commit to what I want to do, because I know that if I don't make those choices and I'm not aware of all the little bits and pieces that can happen, I can go backwards.
Yeah.
Sorry, long-winded answer.
No, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, I'm sure it's taken you years and years and years to get to this position.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely.
So, with that, there's a couple of things. One, you need to give yourself a break on the way because you are going to make mistakes.
Totally.
Two, it needs to be a long game. You know, a low trajectory to a distant horizon is a saying that comes to mind. So, you know, for me now, it's I feel like it's easy because with my nutrition, because the decision's made.
Mm.
Like, it's not easy to avoid eating extra food at night or, you know, just shoving some food in my mouth when I'm starving. That's not easy. But what is easy is making those big decisions for the majority of the time. So where I'm eating good food, I am making good decisions. Basically, my nutrition looks very similar every single day. Mm. If I go to the service station, I don't buy chocolates because I don't eat I don't eat that. So they all those things are made for me. So it's you know, relatively easy now, just because that's what I do.
It's your life.
It's my habit. I've ingrained the habit, yep. Right? And that's where we want to get. That's the goal for everyone. Get to a position where the habit is ingrained. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're making better decisions surrounding your nutrition all the time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hard things is you make these good decisions over and over, and it's super hard, and you don't see any results, mm-hmm. because it's not immediate. But you've got to see, you've got to, you know, understand that it's a long-term process, and what you're doing now might not affect you next month, but it will affect you in 6 years' time. You know, not having the chocolate bar in the office at 3 p.m. today is not going to make any difference for you between today, tomorrow, next week, next month. You take that out and you spread it over 5 months to then 6 years, 5 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. The decision not to have that is huge.
Yeah,
it changes
definitely.
Everything. You're a different person just because of such that small decision.
And the ability to say no that one time, as hard as it might be, it builds over time and it creates a new normal.
Yes.
What initially, the things that used to be hard for me, they're not hard for me anymore because, like I said, it's made up and it's now my whole new normal.
Yep.
So that's easier. But I guess, you know, taking that step just to commit to that decision at that time,
yep.
and knowing that it will have that roll-on effect, that ripple effect long term.
Yep, for sure. Look, I still remember struggling to eat tuna and rice, like gagging. And now I'm like, yeah, sweet, it's easy,
yeah.
you know. So, yeah, I mean, things change and you grow up, but it takes time. And
yep.
I guess that's the biggest point I'm trying to get across is don't feel like all of these little things or that... And this is why I've gone away from the six-week challenges in the gym. Because although we've seen amazing results, it's an end point. It's I've only got to do this for 6 weeks and then I'm back to whatever.
Mm.
Which is not what I want for everyone. What I want for everyone is, again, you know, making small changes gradually, seeing that shift. I mean, if you want to make big changes and you can stick it, awesome. Generally, it's not the best way to go because it's hard and it's a radical lifestyle change and it might affect your kids and your husband and your wife and whoever else, drag them along with you. But if you make these small incremental changes, it's going to generally be more long-lasting. But with that in mind, you need to be patient with the results that you either are or are not getting.
And that, you know, you've touched on it as well, but as coaches, we're not here to have any judgment on the decisions that you're making right now.
That's right.
And if you are struggling with the decisions that you're making, and you are working with us or you want to come to us for some support, just be up front because we don't, if you are making some decisions that aren't quite on the same direction as where you want to go with your goals, that's okay. Just let us know where you're at.
Yeah.
But we're not here to have that judgment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'm really glad you said that, Jen, because for me, the best thing is someone being vulnerable and coming to me and say, hey, I need help.
Mm.
This is what I'm eating now. Like, where am I going wrong? And the worst thing is someone coming to me and saying, I'm trying everything you're telling me to do and I'm not getting results, but that's not accurate.
Yeah.
So if I say, are you drinking much alcohol? No, not at all.
Yeah.
But you're having a bottle of wine a day. You know, I'm trying to help you, but I can't because I haven't got all the information. So I'd much rather know, hey, I'm dealing with having to drink alcohol. You know, I've drink quite a lot. I have 6 beers a night. Then I'm like, right, cool. Well, we can work on this. There's ways we can help that. I'm not going to say, well, you're a horrible person. You drink six beers a night.
Totally.
We're here to help and get people to progress rather than, you know, judge.
Yeah,
like
totally.
I said. Yeah, cool. So a few little quick ones that we'll try and wrap up super fast. So dealing with non-supportive friends. You've already kind of touched on that, whereas you no longer have unsupporting friends.
No, I have a lot of people that it takes time. It's really hard to make a decision to, or even not to make a decision, but to work out where you stand with your friends and where they stand with how they support you and whether they do or don't, or whether it's even important to them or not.
Yes.
And I think part of that is, you talked about feeling in, people feeling intimidated by what you're doing, but then it's also the story we tell ourselves about how people perceive us. So if you're telling yourself a story that people perceive that you're no fun or you're beige or you, because of your personal goals, you're going to start to believe that story. And 9 times out of 10, they actually don't care.
Yeah.
And if that's the choice that you want to make, you make that. But I'd just say commit to it. And if you've got something that you want to do that's in your best interest, make yourself a priority.
Yeah.
Give yourself that self-respect.
Absolutely.
And stick to those goals, because the people that are going to support you, they will start to rally around you, and you attract that.
Yeah. Excellent. Personally, what I've kind of found is, one, you'll end up surrounding yourself with like-minded people anyway.
Definitely.
Two is people will come to know who you are and value you for that or not. And if it intimidates them and they find they can't hang out with you because you're constantly talking about CrossFit, then, you know, cool. That's no stress. I've also found quite interesting because, at work, in the fire service, there's a massive culture of just piss taking, right?
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll put my hand up and say, hey, I'm guilty as anyone. Like, our starter shift is, if you don't come switched on, then you're going to get left behind. It's hilarious, and we have a ball. And I will get ragged on about CrossFit and paleo and anything health and nutrition wise. I'd say once a day, if not more.
Yeah.
But when the people go away, when we all separate and we go and do our different duties or whatever at times throughout the day, a large portion of those people will come back to me and start asking questions. So what do you think I should do for this? How about that? I totally understand that, it's all in good fun.
Mm.
And I also know that a lot of people aren't brave enough to make those same decisions, and they might seem like they're unsupportive. More often than not, they want to know how to get results.
Yeah.
And, one of the guys on my shift actually did the last 6-week challenge that we did and got amazing results.
Mm-hmm.
And, then I've got people from all over Brisbane and everywhere basically throughout the state asking, hey, what are you doing with this guy? Like, how can you run me through it? We've got 5 minutes. I'm like, I can't run you through it in 5 minutes. Like, this is, this is what he did. If you want to sit down and talk with me, I'll give you all the time in the world. But you got to understand that he's put in a massive amount of effort. You need to be ready to change. It's not like, the drop of a hat. But in terms of non-supportive friends, I guess after a while, once they see, don't be a dick about it. And, we don't need to push our ideals on anyone that doesn't want to hear it. But most of the time, if you've got genuine concern for other people's health or your friends in mind, then they'll be accepting of that and more often than not want to jump in with you and help you out. And like, honestly, that's how we got so many members in the gym. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm not the best advertising or marketing person, but
except where you got Matthew.
Yeah, that's where I got Matty.
Sorry.
Matt. He's probably one step worse than me at that stuff. I'm constantly taking videos of him with his True Protein shaker.
I don't know what you two are taking videos of. Sorry.
So, but that's how the gym grew.
Yeah.
Because people talk about it and they get good results, and then they're like, hey, you got to come and try this place.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You get involved with what I'm getting involved with. And then
off an energy that's positive energy when you're getting results. It comes from, not just being healthier, but improving your self-confidence as well.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Yes, for sure. And again, people see that, and you'll end up with like-minded people around you, and that's the main goal. But we're always going to have those mates from high school that smoke a pack of Winnie Reds a day and drink a carton of beer a week, and they're still great people and they're still great mates, and they're not going to understand why you're doing CrossFit or why you're doing, and that's okay. That's just
that's
you're
just
with
where
them,
they're at.
Hang out, and
yeah.
if they want advice, give it to them. If they don't give it to them, because if they don't want it, you're going to alienate.
Same thing goes for family as well.
Oh, family's the hardest. That's a whole nother
blog. Yeah, it is another podcast.
It's a whole nother podcast. Probably 15 podcasts. All right. So, Let's try and I'll punch through a little bit quicker with a few things. First one is eating 5 meals a day. We have to speed up our metabolism. I'm just going to punch through that straight away. That's rubbish. Your metabolism is geared on energy expenditure, not on eating more to burn more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you really think about it logically, it just does not make sense whatsoever. So the more you work out, exercise, work as a laborer, or the physical activity that you conduct for a day, the hungrier you're going to get. That's, I don't even know if I said hungrier properly there, but that's just how it works. That's how your body works, right? You've burnt more energy, you're going to need more fuel. Pretty straightforward. So eating more in hope that your metabolism is going to speed up, or eating more often, is a total furphy. So we, you know, that's came about again from the food industry. Hey, you need to eat more to speed up your metabolism. Then we are eating more of their product. They are making more money. Consumption goes up. That's all it is. Next one, fat makes you fat. Rubbish as well. Excess carbohydrates makes you fat. Now, the way that happens is we get... I'm going to have to try and spit through this quick, but I know it's going to take some time. All right, so we eat carbohydrate, gets converted to glucose. If it's not glucose already, pancreas secretes insulin, goes into our blood, travels through our blood. Insulin, the hormone insulin, comes into contact with insulin receptors in organs, muscles, cells, whatever they are, lets the glucose in so it can be burned for fuel. When we have too much glucose and our glycogen stores throughout our body are full, which is quite easy to do for a large male, you're looking at 2,500 calories worth of stored glycogen in your liver and in your organs and in your muscles. Now, it's not that easy to access all of that glycogen all of the time. So it's not just like you can go, well, I've got 2,500 calories worth of carbohydrate to fill up today before I start storing fat. That's incorrect, because a lot of that is inaccessible. So moving on. Once that's full, what happens is we have excess glucose in our blood, and then our pancreas secretes more insulin in the hope that it's a louder message to try and get that insulin into the cells, but it just can't happen. And then if we keep doing that, we go down that road of hyperinsulinemia and insulin sensitivity issues, where, you know, the insulin's knocking on the door, but the receptors are saying we're full, so then we get more insulin. It's like it's just an ongoing fight. It's kind of like smoking crack. And not that I know this from experience, but from what I hear, you know, let's say, and I have no idea about what I'm talking about here, but I'm sure the analogy is going to work. You go out and you go, and your mate goes, hey, you want some crack? And you go, yep, sure, let's do it. And you have a rock, or let's call it a rock. You have a rock of crack and it spins your wheels and you love it. And then next time you go back and you have another rock of crack, but you don't get the same high. You need a little bit more. And then you need a little bit more. And then before you know it, you're having 5 rocks. So similarly for that, you have all of this insulin trying to get that same response in your system. We end up with excess insulin and glucose in your body. It then goes to your liver. As excess gets converted to triglycerides, which is when you measure your blood and you've got high triglycerides, and people go, you need to stop eating saturated fat. That's not the case. It's actually caused by excess carbohydrate consumption. In turn, that also affects your brain and reduces your brain's ability to receive a hormone called leptin. Leptin's a satiety or satiating hormone that says, I've eaten enough. I can stop eating now. So you have a steak and vegetables and you're eating the steak and you're like, hey, you know what? I'm pretty good. I'm full. Someone says, hey, do you want a bowl of ice cream? Sure, I can fit a bowl of ice cream in. When we're eating the steak with protein and fat in it, it's signaling our brain to stop eating. We've had enough. You know, it's like, hey, do you want another steak? Not really. I'm pretty full. Want a bowl of ice cream? Yep. Because we don't get that leptin response when we're eating ice cream. So you're not a bad person. It's just the fact that that hormone's not getting delivered, you know, not being received by your brain. Yeah. So we then create this cycle, right, where we've got excess glucose insulin, triglycerides, which are blocking the signal in our brain to leptin, we then don't feel full when we go and eat more carbohydrates. Okay, so then we've got this cycle. And so that carbohydrate that's getting stored is just going straight to your adipose tissue and it's making you fat. Mm-hmm. So fat doesn't make you fat because fat will signal leptin and so will protein. Carbohydrate, on the other hand, doesn't give you that signaling. All right, so stored body fat and the fat you eat and protein will give you that. Carbohydrate won't. Mm. So when we're eating that, that's kind of a really rudimentary breakdown of it and how it works. And if you need something more in depth than that, then get on the interwebs and Google the shit out of it. I hope.
Or we can recommend some books to read.
Yeah, we've got heaps of books so you can read on it, right? Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So then that's that one. Cholesterol is the next one. Now, everyone's worried about cholesterol. I don't want to eat too many eggs. It's got too much cholesterol in it. Your dietary intake of cholesterol has little to do with your blood cholesterol markers or the cholesterol in your body. Cholesterol is actually produced within your body. I think it's 80%. I'm blanking on these numbers now. I'm pretty sure it's either 75 or 80% of the cholesterol that's measured when, say, you go get a blood test or in your body is actually produced within your body. So dietary cholesterol is very, very low in terms of how it affects your actual blood chemistry and the internal workings of your body. So that's a quick one. If you want to know more on that, chriscresser.com, Rob Wolf, you know, Google those guys. They're the geniuses behind it all. They're the scientists. They'll give you all their information is largely free. There's a lot of stuff on that. Any other myths you can think of, Jen? Like that people try and hack or do? Or
I think just overall, any of the dietary protocols that you choose to adopt, they can all be bastardized and turn into yep. something that's more than or worse than.
Less than ideal.
Less than ideal. Thank yes. you. You know, whatever path you choose, whether it's keto zone, macros, you know, low carb, high fat, whatever it is, the decision making and how you approach them and all of the hype that can come from it, people can turn it into something that's not going to work for you.
Yep.
So I think if you're really wanting to follow a specific prescription or way to eat, do the research, spend the time and literally find out what it means. So grab a book, like you said, or listen to people like Rob Wolf and find out how that approach works rather than just groups in Facebook or a friend of a friend has done this or that or you know, magazine that sells paleo treats. So
yeah.
There's all of them can be bastardized and turned into something that they're not meant to be.
Yeah, and have a think about where you're getting your information from as well.
Yeah,
if definitely. You're getting your information on paleo treats from a date or protein company, hey, it's probably not the best
yes.
people to get your information
their
from. They're just
not.
Trying to get you to eat
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
Excellent. One thing I did think of just then, I'm blanking again now. Oh, we, you know, I've seen in the past also people go from whatever they're eating now to like a crazy four-ball lemon detox or like just something stupid. And even if it's not stupid, going from having no input or control whatsoever over your nutrition into, say, the zone, for example, that's a really, really big jump.
Mm.
So what I recommend is hitting the things that are going to give you the biggest bang for your buck to start with. Get rid of the sugar, reduce the alcohol.
Get some sleep.
Sleep.
Drink some water.
Sleep is huge. We're going to do a whole podcast on sleep. But if you're not sleeping well, you're going to make bad decisions, pretty much like you're drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And not only that, hormone regulation, everything's horrendous. So sleep is a massive
yeah.
deal. Excellent. All right. Any axes to grind this week,
yes,
Jen?
I have one.
Excellent.
So,
the look on your face.
Obviously,
yes.
you know, I'm a school mum.
This is going to be good.
And I don't always do school pickup because I'm not cool enough anymore. So Deacon rides to and from school. Occasionally, though, when the weather's crap or whatever it might be, I do school pickup. And there's at the school, there's parking bays where you drive and park. And if there's no parking bay, you're meant to keep going and do another loop.
Like the airport.
Yeah. And on the one side, there's an orange line. An orange line, everyone knows, a block orange line means do not park there. why is it that people always park there? It's like the shopping trolley.
Because they're more important.
I don't know. They've got flashy cars on me usually.
Their kid is more important than...
Get off the orange line. Just keep moving.
Just need to drive an old cruiser like mine. Everyone gets out of the way.
I should drive the orange beast and just, you know, apparently four-wheel drives can go anywhere, so.
Yeah.
That's my extra
grind. Run one wheel up over the bonnet. What's
yours?
Oh, man, I just thought of another one. The airport line.
Yeah.
Like you go there to pick someone up, and the security goes like, sorry, you have to move on. And I'm like, there's no one here. There's not one other car parked here. I don't need, like, you're killing me, mate. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, yep, righto, just give me 5 minutes. And, you know, then he comes back. You got to do a loop. And it's like, what? Yeah. Anyway, that wasn't even what I wanted to talk about, but that drives me insane. This is more or less of a kind of axe to grind and more of just something that happened to me this week that I told the guys in the gym about yesterday. But I had a nice relaxing morning, slept in till like 6:30. So it was good for me. Had a coffee. I'm like, right, ready to hit some work on the computer, get some emails done, handle some work for the gym. Go into the computer and it's just got silver paint pen drawn all over the screen like it's a like it was a coloring in book. And I'm normally pretty hard to ruffle, I feel, and it just got me yesterday. So I got to apologize to my wife because I just couldn't handle it. So yeah, kids drawing on things other than what they're meant to be drawing on frustrates the shit out of me. Like furniture and computers and keyboards. I think the chair I'm sitting on's got a red pen on the back of it at the moment. It just irks me. So yeah, that was me.
That's yours.
Me. Yeah.
Did you recover from that yesterday?
I didn't. I struggled.
That was the afternoon when I was talking about it.
So for those guys in the 12 o'clock, I was rattled at the 12 PM, 12:15 session. I was all over the shop and. Yeah, apologies for that team, but pulled it together by the last session of the day,
which was
the 6:15, and so they got a good one. excellent. So quickly, things coming up. If I get this out tonight, tomorrow we have the games day. So if you're thinking about come along, please, please, please get along. It's for absolutely everyone. Scaling is all but compulsory. so we'll make sure it's inclusive for everyone. Bring your kids along. We'll make an area for them so they're nice and safe and running around and having fun. And then kicks off at 7 o'clock. So please get there for that. Also, on the topic of nutrition, we've got our nutrition scans tomorrow. So please book in. I sent an email. Also, the link's on the Facebook members page. If you're not on the members page, please request to join. If you're not on Facebook, I can't help you.
Doesn't happen if it's not on Facebook.
Yeah. That's about it. Awesome. Thanks, Jen, for coming along again. Oh, I think we kept it to, let's see, not too bad timing, I hope. Well, 1 hour, 2 minutes, perfect. All right, so thanks, Jen. And as always, guys, if you have any questions, concerns, feedback, also we're on iTunes now. So as I said before, we're on iTunes. Please give us a rating. Not really sure why. But I think it bumps up our search thing or something. So give us a rating, share this with your friends if you think they'll find it valuable, and we will keep punching out episodes for you. All right. See you in the gym.
Cheers.
Thanks, Jen.